But what Dr. B. Sam Hart said that day is so true. God has work for every single Christian to do. But sadly, there are many Christians who are doing very little for God.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The book of Hebrews was written primarily to a group of first century Jewish Christians enduring persecution that challenged their faith in a particularly virulent way. Not only were they being persecuted by the Roman authorities who recognized standard Judaism as the only legitimate non-Roman religion in occupied Israel, but these suffering Christians had to bear the intense ostracism and persecution of the Jewish community as well, including formerly close family and friends. And for some, it was all getting to be too much, and they were beginning to waver in their faith. The writer addresses the cause of their wavering. Some were beginning to question whether or not the challenge of following Jesus was worth the effort. That same challenge may not be too different from what some Christians face today. If you've been a Christian for any length of time at all, you have likely learned that following Christ in this Christ-rejecting world is not without cost. So if that be the case, we invite you to listen as Pastor Brian Grant brings a message of encouragement and strength from this most relevant book. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of his message, Is Following Jesus Worth the Effort?
36 years ago, our family experienced an unimaginable tragedy. One of my wife's cousins and his wife, both in their 20s, were brutally strangled to death with their 9-month-old baby lying beside her mom. By the time the bodies were discovered several days later, the baby was lying motionless by her mom. They weren't sure if she was alive. She was rushed to the hospital, where they discovered that although she was badly dehydrated, she was still alive. By the way, for those of you who need an update, God blessed her. The doctor, she grew up, and the doctor said she wouldn't be able to have a child, but God has blessed her with a baby. Amen. But you know, days later, after the funeral service, as we were gathered by the graveside, waiting to see them putting the bodies. It was a big oversized casket. Husband and wife were in this one casket. As they were about to lower it, you know, we were dreading that moment when it would be lowered and covered. But as they were about to lower the casket, something dramatic and unusual happened. Because all of a sudden, a young man shouted out, "Open the casket! Open the casket! God is not finished with them yet. He has work for them to do. Open the casket!" Well, of course, those who were operating the machine to lower the body, they froze, and the rest of us were stunned into it. So we were so shocked, nobody knew what to do. Are they going to lower it? Are they going to open the casket? What is going to happen? I'll be honest with you. The dread of the moment suddenly passed away as something new had arisen. Suddenly, the grieving father, Dr. B. Sam Hart, who is the founder of this church, all of a sudden, he responded and he said, "We will do no such thing. God is finished with them. They have run their race and they're gone home to be with the Lord. God has work for you to do. You better get up and do God's work." What a stunning moment. I tell you, it's a moment that will be etched in our memories for the rest of our lives. But what Dr. B. Sam Hart said that day is so true. God has work for every single Christian to do. But sadly, there are many Christians who are doing very little for God. Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody like that this morning, either here on the internet, somebody who you are a Christian, but you're not doing very much for God. And I have discovered that part of the reason why some Christians are not doing very much for God is because they're so discouraged. You see, when we got saved, many of us assumed that life would get easier. But as our family experienced, listen, the trauma of life and the challenges of life, Christians are not exempt from pain and the difficulties of life. In fact, quite often, when we become Christians, the pressure intensifies. Has anybody ever found that? Sometimes it's after you get saved that things really heat up. You know, the Jewish Christians in the early church discovered that. They discovered that. And because, you see, they had left the Jewish faith and they had embraced the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, and because they had walked away from Judaism, their families ostracized them, and the Jewish leaders, they were making sure they were feeling the heat of persecution. And so as you study the book of Hebrews, it's good for you to understand the context, because the book of Hebrews was written primarily to these Jewish Christians who were considering going back. The pressure of being a Christian was so tough. Life was so difficult that they were starting to wonder, is following Jesus worth the effort? Perhaps I'm speaking to somebody this morning. For you, life has been so tough. Although you're glad to be saved, you are wondering if following Jesus is worth the effort. Because since you have become a Christian, life has been difficult. And all the things you assume God would do for you, most of those things have not come to pass. And life is difficult. And you've prayed and asked God to help you and to deliver you and to bless you with whatever the issue is that you were hoping God would do. But sometimes it seems God is far away. You're pondering, is following Jesus really worth the effort? My friend, God feels your pain. And I trust you'll be encouraged today as I answer the question, as the Spirit of God helps me, is following Jesus worth the effort? Next to the book of Revelation, Hebrews is perhaps the most difficult book in the New Testament, because if you don't have a good understanding of Old Testament, you're going to have a tough time understanding Hebrews. And in the book of Hebrews, God gives us several reasons. Remember now, the book of Hebrews is written to Jewish Christians who are thinking of turning back. So you can imagine that the book of Hebrews gives us many reasons why following Jesus is worth the effort. And this morning, I just want to share with you three reasons why following Jesus is worth the effort, why Jesus is worthy of our full commitment. Put this in your notes. For number one, Jesus is worthy because of his unsurpassed greatness. Amen. He's worthy because of his unsurpassed greatness. Let's just read the passage that was already read for us in Hebrews 1:1-4. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. His greatness is unsurpassed. He is the one, Jesus Christ is the one who made the worlds. Am I right about that? Who, being the brightness of his glory, that's the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Folks, it is Jesus Christ who is upholding this entire universe. The whole universe is being upheld by the word of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become, it says here, so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. There's no one like Jesus. Amen. The word better is used 13 times in Hebrews to point out the superlatives of Christ and his work. Nothing can compare with what we have in Jesus Christ, not Judaism or any other religion. Amen? Jesus is superior to all the so-called saviors. He's not only better than the angels, as Hebrews 1:4 mentions. Listen, Hebrews tells us he provides a better covenant, better hope, better promises, a better resurrection, better future, in a better country. Jesus Christ is better. And let me tell you, his salvation is eternal. Not even the devil in hell can pluck us out of our Savior's hands. You know, the Muslims worship Allah, but I don't know if you know that the Muslims don't expect to ever see him. Did you know that? The Muslims don't expect to ever see Allah. But listen, we're not only going to see him, hallelujah, we're not only going to see him, we're going to be with him forever. And not only be with him forever, the Bible says we're going to be like him. My Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Am I right about it? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and because I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you might be also. We're not only going to see him, we're going to be with him forever and ever. Amen. Jesus Christ is better. What an incredible hope we have in Jesus Christ. And my friend, I just want you to know, if you're struggling, is Jesus worth the effort? Yes, he's worth the effort because of his unsurpassed greatness. When he was here on earth, there were disciples who were walking away, and Jesus looked at the others and he said, are you going to also walk away? They said, no. He said, to who should we go? You are the one with the words of eternal life. And my friend, there is no other Savior but our Lord Jesus Christ. These so-called saviors can't help us. And so this morning, my friend, if you're getting a little weak in the knees, you better bow your knee right now to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that I know you as my Savior, and I'm going to cling to you through the good times and through the bad times. I'm going to cling to you because of your unsurpassed greatness. Jesus is the only one worthy of our heart's full devotion. And he's my Savior.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. Or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Is he your Savior? Sir, madam, as you watch this morning, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Are you sure that he is living in your heart? Have you received him by faith? Hallelujah. He's my Savior. He has saved me. And I know that I will be with him one day. Listen, Jesus is worthy because of his unsurpassed greatness. But secondly, Jesus is worthy, listen, because he has perfected us. Write that down. Jesus is worthy because he has perfected us. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're just going to read verse 1 for the moment. I'll wait till I hear your pages stop rustling. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, here's how it reads. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. These sacrifices could not make anyone perfect. Interesting, the word perfect is used. I told you that the word better was used how many times? 13 times. The word perfect is used 14 times in the book of Hebrews, and only 9 times in the rest of the New Testament. 70%, just about 70% of all the times the word perfect is used in the New Testament, it's in the book of Hebrews. The Old Testament sacrifices, as I just said, were not perfect. So although they could cover sin for a while, they were unable to make anyone perfect. And as a result, listen good, as a result, access to God's presence was blocked. Nobody could become perfect, so it was impossible for an imperfect person to enter into the presence of a perfect and holy God. But thank God for Jesus, for he's not only better, he's perfect. Amen. He's not only better, he is perfect. And as perfect God and perfect man, he was able to offer the perfect sacrifices for our sin. Amen. The perfect sacrifice. Let me say that right, because I said sacrifices. He never had to offer sacrifices like the Old Testament priest. He only had to offer one sacrifice. Let's pick up reading at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. And it says, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, who is he talking about? This man, this uppercase M for man, this uppercase man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. One sacrifice for sins forever. Not daily, one sacrifice for sins forever. He sat down at the right hand of God from that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has what? He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Jesus Christ, our perfect Savior, offered the perfect sacrifice for sins, and by his one perfect offering, Jesus has perfected us forever. You missed a good place to shout praise the Lord. But what is the meaning of the word perfect in Hebrews chapter 10? Write this down. It means that the believer in Jesus Christ has a perfect standing before God. The believer in Jesus Christ has a perfect standing before God. Now, don't miss this. Our perfect standing is not based on our perfect behavior. Oh, you might want to admit it, but I'll admit it because I know my behavior wasn't perfect. Not even in school, because they pulled me out and lashed me with the cane. You ever got lashed with the cane? I can still see the marks on my... them marks made me know I wasn't perfect. But hallelujah, despite my behavior wasn't perfect, my standing before God is perfect because of the perfect sacrifice of my perfect Savior. Amen. Our perfect standing is not based on our performance. Hallelujah. Oh, perfect standing is based on the perfect sacrifice Jesus made for us on the cross. For on the cross, the spotless, sinless Son of God died for us, and his sacrifice has perfected us forever. Brothers and sisters, don't forget that word. It has perfected us forever. Young man, listen, the minute you come to Jesus Christ, your standing, and you receive him as your Savior, your standing before God is perfected forever, and nothing can change that. Your behavior may misbehave after, but if you're a child of God, you have been perfected forever. Now, we're going to talk about your behavior a little bit today, not very much, but in the weeks ahead, we're going to talk a little bit more about the behavior, because God's intention is not that just that our standing is perfect, but he wants to make sure our state is perfect. So when people look at you, they say, wow, that person looks like Jesus. Because little by little, every day, God wants to change us. Jesus wants to change us so that we start looking more and more like Jesus. So it's not just a matter that you say, oh, I'm so glad my standing before God is great. No. My standing is great. And when my standing is great, if the blood has really grabbed a hold of me, I'm going to want my state to change. No, you see, every other religion is works-based. I don't know if you know that. Every single other religion is works-based. It's based on stuff that people do. It's based on what I do. And that is one of the reasons why religious people are always unsure of their standing before God. Have you ever spoken to somebody and said that? You're sure that you're going to go to heaven? And they're like, you're so cocky. Who do you think you are? Spoke to these Catholics and they told me, who do you think you are? You're so cocky. I said, no, it's not that I'm cocky. It's because of what he has done. It's because of the sacrifice Jesus has provided. You see, every other religion is works-based. People are working hard to make it. This is why we have tossed that song out. You know, there was a little song, I'm climbing up the upside. Who knows that one? The upside of the mountain. The rough side? The rough side of the mountain. Then what's the next part? I'm doing my best to make it in. Oh, little second, you can't do you can do all you want to do. You can't make it in by your climbing up. But hallelujah, we can make it in because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have come to him, hallelujah, hallelujah. Charles Smith was a devout Jehovah's Witness for 37 years and had moved up the ranks. But one day he saw someone with a sign, and all that was on the sign was this, 1 John 5:13. That's all that was on the sign. I guess that was such a dramatic sign. Somebody just has a sign. 1 John 5:13. It doesn't even say what 1 John 5:13 is. This person had the sign right outside a meeting where the Jehovah's Witnesses were convening a meeting. And so Charles Smith saw the sign and he filed it away and he said, later on I'm going to read it. He went home and he read 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Charles Smith said, what? I better reread that. He was sure he had made a mistake. read it again. It said the same thing. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. Yes, it was blown away. Because he had been working for God for 37 years, or so he thought. He had been working for God, and he had never experienced eternal life. And at that time, he didn't even know it was possible to know you have eternal life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.